chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Pray for the folks that are sick this morning, those that aren't with us. And it seems like every week you come to church, you find somebody else has got a bug or something else that's going around. Be much in prayer for them. We ask you to be much in prayer, especially for the Sister Sherry McGill and her sister Toby. Their father is nearing his journey here on earth, and just any moment now they know that he could slip from this world into eternity, and it's really a hard time. So pray for them as they deal with this and as they go through this, and just pray for God's grace and mercy. I ask you to pray for some neighbors of mine. I don't know how many know the Ayers family. Has Ayers Welding and Fabrication up on Red Hood Road, but that was founded by a man by the name of Mike Ayers, and we got word yesterday that Mike had committed suicide, and just ask you to pray for him and his family. He'd been dealing with some sicknesses, they said, and they don't know whether it's because of the medicine or what caused him to do it, but just pray for that family, amen, and that's a hard thing to deal with. And it's a hard thing to go through for anybody, so lift him up in prayer. And then just keep our regular church family on your prayer list. Amen. I'll tell you what, everybody in our church has something going on or something in their family that they need your prayers for. So pray for one another. And we're going to talk about that some this morning as we look to God's Word in Hebrews chapter 10. If you found Hebrews 10, we'd invite you this morning if you'd stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God?" Excuse me. "And accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Number 25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." One of the most difficult things in any church and any congregation that we see and we can be a witness to, I guess, through the Word of God, is faithfulness on attendance to the assembling of the saints, amen, of the gathering together to worship, the gathering together to give God the glory, the gathering together to strengthen and encourage one another. And the Bible tells us not to forsake it because there's a benefit in our being together. There's a benefit in us coming together. Jesus said where two or three are gathered in His name, He would be in the midst. There's a benefit of gathering together. Amen. The Bible says right here in Hebrews we are to provoke one another, to encourage one another, to be an example of one another unto good works. The Bible says here as well that we're to exhort one another. The time of fellowship, the time of gathering should be a time of exhortation, not just of one another, but of lifting up the very name of God. So many times we come into the church house to see and to be seen, or to meet with our friends, especially it seems young people are like that, and some of our teenagers are like that. When they got a boy or a girl, they can't wait to get to church to see that young man or that young woman. But let me tell you, our primary purpose in coming into the house of God is to give honor and glory unto Him. And He says not to forsake it, not to forsake it. It's a privilege that we have. Do you realize that as Brother Robbie Mullinax was here with us, he's a missionary that we support that smuggles Bibles into China. And he tells us how difficult it is for the Chinese church to worship and to be able to practice what we have complete freedom and autonomy to do right here in our country. But yet we take it for granted, as we've read and as we've seen in news articles here in the last couple of months, how we see that China is cracking down on the church, and pastors are being arrested and imprisoned. Brother Robbie shared with me in a letter just a few weeks ago, it hasn't been that long, maybe a month or so ago, how that in their smuggling of Bibles, and what they do is they literally put Bibles in backpacks. The team goes and they load backpacks up with Bibles and they walk through the customs from Hong Kong into China, and they go and they have a place where they take the Bibles and where they drop them, and you don't have no idea where that Bible's going to. You don't have no idea who's going to pick it up, and they want it that way. The less you know, the better off you are. You drop them Bibles and you go on, and somebody picks them Bibles up, but ultimately them Bibles get distributed unto the Chinese people, and they've been doing this for a long time and have had great success. And just a couple of weeks ago, in a letter that he had written, or maybe I seen it on Facebook, I'm not sure where it was, but he communicated unto us how that as they were going through their couriers, as they were going to their drop-off point, and had made it to their drop-off points, were meant by the Chinese police, and they were taken into custody, and the Bibles had been confiscated because they're cracking down on worship. They're cracking down on the Word of God being freely distributed and freely given to the people, and yet we take it for granted all the time. Amen. We seen a video of Chinese people, and had Sister Hilda Wong was with us at the time, and she was translating a video that was on YouTube of Chinese people receiving the first Bible that they had ever received, and how they were crying and were just thanking those who had provided the Bibles, and were just so thankful that they had the privilege to obtain these Bibles, and yet we just take it for granted. Amen. God's word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning, forsake it not, for three very important reasons. Number one, I want you to forsake it not because of where we worship. Where we may worship. Look in verses 19 to 21. And having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. We don't just come here to worship this morning in Charlestown. We don't just come here to worship this morning in this house. The Bible says that because of the blood of Jesus, because He died and shed His precious blood, because he purchased for us an eternal salvation. He purchased for us a birthright into the family of God that was able to birth us, not just to adopt us, but was able to birth us into the family of God. We don't just come to sit on the pews of Charlestown Baptist Church to worship. We are able to come this morning to worship in the holiest of all. Amen. Amen. We worship in the presence of God. He said we can come boldly. Amen. We can come boldly. He tells us earlier in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. He says we can come boldly into the holiest of all to worship. We can worship in the presence of God. You just don't sit here this morning and the pastor's looking out and you come to be seen of the pastor. You come because you get to go into the presence of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and into the throne room of God to worship in the holiest of all. Amen. Amen. That's a privilege that's been granted unto us. Look at what it costs. He says in verse number 19, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Worship is a costly thing. Amen. Y'all have missed it. Worship is a costly thing. The problem with most people who come into church and most people getting bored at being in church is they don't want to pay the cost that is required to worship the way that God wants us to worship. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, it costs God everything, amen, to give us entrance into the holiest of all. When David went to the threshing floor of Araunah, Araunah seen him coming, and the Bible said, as a king, Araunah wanted to give unto David the threshing floor and the oxen and the instruments of threshing that he might use them. And he said, here I give it to you. David said, oh no. He said, I'm going to pay for these things because I can't worship with something that hasn't cost me. You know why most people miss out on worship? They can't give up some things. Amen. They can't sacrifice some things. They can't sacrifice the flesh for a while to come and put the world away to worship Jesus. They can't forget a few dollars that they might have been able to earn today to come to the house of God to worship Jesus. They can't forget about the boat trip and the boat ride down the bay that they're going to have in a little while if they could just get through this thing and just get over this thing. And praise God, in a little bit it's going to be over and I can go and do whatever I want to do. The Bible says, remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. But heck with that. There's a boat ride coming. I'm not willing to pay the cost to worship. I just want to get in and get out. I don't want to spend some time in the holiest of all. Worship's going to cost you something. Amen. Worship's going to cost you something. We have a place to worship that has cost a great price. Man, we got a beautiful church. We have people come in and they look at our church and they say, oh, what a beautiful church. We have people come and say, I would love to have gotten married here. This church is so pretty. This ceiling is so beautiful. And look, everything looks so nice. But this isn't what it's all about. Amen. We just come here to get together so that we can enter into the holiest of all. Amen. We can get behind the veil that cost Jesus his very blood, cost Jesus his very life. Look, not only is it a costly place, it's a consecrated place. And by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. You know what that word consecrate means? It means dedicated to a sacred purpose. Praise God. I tell you what, we got to get ourselves dedicated to the purpose of worshiping the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. He's given us the place. He's paid the cost for us to come to worship. Amen. He's consecrated it and made it a holy thing. You know, worship in the sight of God is a blessed thing. Amen. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Amen. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to come this morning to get together to worship that you might be able to enter for just a short time into the Holy of Holies, into that blessed place where he can just uplift you and encourage you. He can stir your heart. You know what keeps the child of God going on? You know what keeps the child of God desiring more? You know what keeps the child of God wanting to worship Jesus more today than he did yesterday? Praise God. It's because once you've been there, it's worse than heroin. Amen. Or it's better than heroin, however you want to, you know, it's an addiction. Yes. Amen. Yes. It's an addiction. Amen. Amen. It's the right addiction. That's right, Brother Gus. It's a good one. Amen. I tell you what, it's just like preaching. My wife can tell you, if I don't get to preach, amen, I'm like a caged lion. Amen. If I don't get to preach every now and then, it's a day. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, you mean you work? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I quit my job so I could preach and pastor a church. I said, well, I keep my job to support my habit of preaching. Amen. And it allows us to do what we want to do when we need to do it and where we want to do it, because God has supplied and God has taken care of it. Amen. It's an addiction. Amen. You long for the house of God. You long. The psalmist said he wanted to be in the house of God more than anything. He said, a day in thy courts is better than anything. Praise God. You know why? He knows the cost that it cost for him to be able to worship. You know what he realized? He knew the place where he was going to worship had been consecrated and had been prepared for him. And it gave him a desire and an addiction to want to be in the presence of Jesus. It's a costly place. It's a consecrated place. But praise God, it's a connected place, because look, in verse number 21, and having an high priest over the house of God. Praise God. We don't come and worship. You don't come here just to hear me. You come here to visit with Jesus, I hope. Amen. You don't come here just because of me. You come here because Jesus meets your heart and he speaks to your needs and he stirs your soul all through the book of Hebrews. All through the book of Hebrews, it's been telling us how much better. How much better Jesus is. How much better Jesus is than the angels. Amen. He tells us how much better Jesus is than the worship of the law. It tells us how much better Jesus is than the high priest and the priest that died off and had to get a new priest. And the next time this one died, they had to get another one. He was better than that because he's eternal. Amen. It tells us how much better he was than the human priest because he had to offer a sacrifice for himself. The old priest, the human priest, had to offer a sacrifice for his own sin before he can sacrifice for your sin. But praise God, our high priest is better than that. Amen. He was without sin. Amen. He knew no sin. He didn't have to deal with sin in his own self. And praise God, he's able to deal with my sin and your sin and the world's sin. And praise God, he can get it under the blood if we'll surrender. Man, we're connected because we have a high priest that not only sits on the throne of the right hand of God and is Lord of lords and King of kings, but praise God, he's our worship leader. Amen. Amen. And he tells us how good it is. He lets us know, man, there's nothing sweeter than the Spirit of God moving through your heart and moving through his service and touching you and letting you feel his presence. Oh, there's nothing I like being connected to the high priest that sits in the throne room of God, the high priest that is the Holy of Holies, the high priest that is the mercy seat, the priest that is the sacrifice, the high priest that have consecrated and made holy all that we worship in and all that we worship for, the high priest that has made a way when there could be no way, because he was willing to go all the way to Calvary and shed his precious blood. You know what the Bible says in Matthew 27? Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Praise God. We get excited about coming to the house of God because of where we get to worship. Amen. Charlestown's nice. Amen. But when we get into the presence of God, amen, when he shows up, amen, when he shows up, it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. When he shows up, there's nothing better. Amen. There's nothing that can do you any better in this world than getting addicted to Jesus and letting him just show up in your life and blessing you. Like, I mean, he can bless you sometimes. He can bless the preacher where the preacher can't preach. Amen. He can bless a service where the preacher don't have to preach. Amen. I tell you what, some of the best services we've had at Charlestown, we've never preached. Amen. We just come and worship God. Matter of fact, why don't we just do that tonight? Amen. Why don't we just come and worship God tonight? Amen. Why don't we just come and sing and share scripture and just give testimony to what God has done in our life? You don't need the preacher to worship. Praise God. I'm glad when he shows up. When the preacher don't preach and the preacher don't have to say anything, all he has to do is just be mindful and obedient to the word of God. Amen. What a blessing it is. Listen, it's not only because of where we worship, but it's because of how we worship. Look at verses 22-25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's not just because of where we worship, but because of how we worship. In verse number 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in the pure blood, or washed with pure water. You know what? The first thing we need to do if we want to worship God, the way that we need to worship God, is we need to get our hearts right. Amen. You know why so many people miss out on the worship experience? They don't have their hearts right. He said, let us draw near with a true heart. Amen. You know, so many are going through the motions of worship and are missing the joy of worship because they don't have the right heart, the right frame of mind as they come into the house of God to worship. You know, we need to prepare for worship. Amen. We need to get our hearts right, and we need to get our hearts in tune with God. Amen. We need to come in with the right attitude, and the only way that we can have the right attitude, which is the full assurance of God, amen, the only way that we can have that is to know that we've got our sin under the blood, and we're not going to be a hindrance, but praise God, we're going to be a help to the worship experience as God begins to move through the body of Christ. He don't have to stop and deal with the cancer of sin in this life, and the cancer of sin in that life. He can deal with you, amen, in spirit and in truth, because you come and your heart was right. Y'all been here, you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you know what it's like when you come into the house of God and just everything ain't right in your life. Amen. And man, all you felt was stinging. Stinging, stinging, when every word of God that was preached. Why is that? Because your heart wasn't right. Amen. Your heart's not right. He said, let us draw near with a true heart. Let's get our hearts right. Amen. None of us are immune from sin. Let me tell you what. I've stood in the pulpit and missed the blessings of God because there was something that I hadn't let go of, something that I hadn't taken care of, some malice, some sin, something there that shouldn't have been there. And you know what it did? It hindered the service. Amen. It hindered the service. But God says, let us draw near with a true heart. Man, just imagine what it would be like if we all come in here this morning, and before we got here, we'd already all dealt with all the sin that's in our life. Amen. If any man says he has no sin, he deceives himself. Amen. If you say that you don't have sin, you're a liar. Amen. We all have sin. We all have sin in our life. But praise God, he's got a remedy for sin. He's got a remedy for the heart that's not right. A remedy for the heart that's not true. A remedy for the heart that's not ready. He says, confess your faults, and he's faithful. Confess your sins, and he's faithful. Confess your problems, he's faithful. And just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We got to come with a true heart. And when we got our heart right, our assurance is right. When our assurance is right, we're not afraid to worship. We're not afraid to shout. We're not afraid to get excited about worshiping Jesus. Amen. But listen, it takes more than just a heart feeling. It's a faith initiative. It's a faith-based worship. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. You know what? When we don't have faith in the one that we're coming to worship, we're not going to worship the way that we need to. Amen. We're not going to be excited because of what he does, because we don't really have faith that he's going to do what he says he could do. He said he's faithful that promised. Yeah. Amen. If you turn your Bible, maybe a page over into chapter 11, in verse number 6. Amen. It tells you how important your faith is to the worship hour and to the worship experience. Listen to what he says. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Praise God. I want to come and I want to worship because I know if I worship him, he's going to show up. If I worship him, he's going to honor that. If I worship him, he's going to reward that. If I worship him, he's going to acknowledge that. If I worship him, he might even move through the place in a manner that we can't even begin to speak or begin to move and begin to function in our own selves. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What did you come looking for this morning? Did you come looking for one of them, okay, pastor, bless me if you can, messages? Or was you here, okay, I've got to go through this again, let's get it over with. Did you come this morning, well, it's my duty, and I got to be there. Or the preacher will preach about not being in the house of God when the doors are open. I got to be there. Or did you come this morning by chance? Maybe just perhaps expecting the Lord to do something in your life. Amen. You know why we missed a blessing? We're not expecting the blessing. He said, we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. We must believe that he's going to do something. Amen. Did you come this morning expecting him to do something? Because if you did, he's going to do something for you. I guarantee you. Everybody else might miss out on it. Everybody else might miss it completely. It might just right over their head. They won't even know what happened. They look over to you and you got that silly little grin on your face. Hey, what are they grinning about? What are they so smug about? What's going on over there? Well, Jesus just showed up. That's what's going on over there. Jesus just brought a blessing. That's what's happening over there. You know why you don't experience it? You know why you don't get it? Because you wasn't expecting it. Amen. What he says in his word, must believe that he is. And if you come seeking Him this morning, praise God, He'll honor it. The three imperatives to good worship: a right heart, a right faith, and a right desire. Verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the days approaching. I tell you what, I don't know why you want to get around God's people and get around one another. I need what I get from you. Amen. I need what I get from God's people. Amen. As human beings, we feed on one another. And I preach all the time. Young people, I preach this all the time. You'll rise or fall to the level of the people that you choose to hang around with.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you something, Mom and Dad. You will rise and fall to the level of the people that you choose to hang around with. Amen. Let me tell you something, Grandma, Grandpa. Amen. You will rise or fall to the level of the people that you choose to surround yourself with. Amen. Now, if you want to worship God, you know where you're going to find good worship? Where people want to worship God. You know where you're going to have the best worship experience? Where people are worshiping God. Amen. He said, we need to provoke one another. I tell you what, as people at times say, Pastor, I just wanted to shout. Well, go ahead. You know what that'll do? That'll provoke somebody else. Amen. That'll let somebody else know that, hey, I can shout down there at Charlestown because they worship God and they're not ashamed to worship God. They're not ashamed of, you know why I love worshiping with Brother Polk? Because he does it all out. Amen. Brother Polk, when he worships, I don't care whether he's leading the singing. I don't care whether he is a singing. I don't care whether you're down in a goose pit somewhere with him or behind a horse as he's shoeing. Praise God. Whatever he's doing, he's a worshiping. And man, if you want to get in a worshiping mood, you need to get around Brother Polk. Amen. I love to get around Brother Polk because when he worships, I worship. When he gets blessed, I get blessed. Amen. When he shouts, I want to shout. Amen. Just cut loose and let God have the glory and let God be honored in all that you do. Praise God. I'm from the old school, from the old days. Amen. Mrs. Fox over there, Calvin knows who I'm talking about. Amen. My wife. Amen. Over there, Franklin had them little old flowery hankies. Amen. Purple and pink. And man, she'd get happy. And the next thing you'd hear is, and she'd be waving that hanky. And her people would be getting all moved because she's worshiping. She's provoking others to get happy in Jesus. And pretty soon you hear somebody else, like that little boy down there at Jubilee. Man, a couple of ladies and some folks got to shouting over in the corner over there. Now there's about 550 people in this meeting in the morning. Amen. It's probably, a Wednesday or Thursday morning. I was in the meeting. This place was packed out. And there's a handful of preachers. I think it's Brother Chris Hazlip was preaching. And somebody got excited over there and began to shout, and pretty soon folks around them were shouting, and that little boy looked over there, Brother Ledbetter's little boy, he looked over at him and he said, Daddy, is that what shouting time's all about? And praise God, it broke loose in there because people realized there was no shame in worshiping God. There was no shame in being provoked unto good works, and the best thing we can do is to worship God. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, that went on for about 20 minutes. Amen. It wasn't just a show, it was the real deal, folks. Amen. Folks were worshiping God. Tears were flowing. Snot was a slinging. People were on the altar. Hankies were being used in immense manner. Praise God. The glory of God had broke loose on the place. And people weren't afraid to worship for a little while. Amen. The preacher had to quit preaching And they just shouted for a while. I think that was it. I think that was the service old brother Mark Hill. He got up and he took off. Now Gateway is a big church. Amen. Brother Mark Hill, he got up and he took off. He went down this side of the church and there was a door at the back of the church. He went out that door and said, Lord Almighty, I wonder where Brother Mark went. Amen. You could hear him shouting. I think he ran all the way out in the parking lot, shouting all around the fellowship hall, shouting. About 10 minutes later, he come back in a door on this side and coming running up to the church. And praise God, he was still a shouting the house down. Amen. You know why? Because he come to worship. Amen. He come to worship. And he wasn't afraid when somebody provoked him. I just cut loose. You know what? We're just too dignified sometimes to worship. Amen? We get too dignified sometimes to really give God all the glory. When's the last time you just raised your hand and said, Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. When's the last time you just didn't care what anybody else thought and you said, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. And you just got to worshiping on your own. I don't fall into the form and fashion of the way that we should do it. Praise God. Heck with the form and fashion. Throw it out the door. Amen. And worship Jesus. Amen. I tell you, he says we need to provoke one another unto good works and exhorting one another even more so as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I'm looking any moment for the Lord just to split that eastern sky. Amen. I tell you, I believe he's coming. Amen. I believe he's coming soon. All the prophecies have been fulfilled. As far as I know, everything in the Word of God is complete. Everything in the Word of God says that the stage is ready for the Lord to come again. Amen. And instead of more so, we see our churches falling away. And you know what? I look around and I get discouraged. I really do. I get discouraged sometimes. I look around and say, man, here just a year ago, 2 years ago, and we was really popping out of the place here. Now people that were coming were faithful. They don't come anymore. I wonder what's going on. And you talk, well, it's nothing, Pastor. We're just busy. We're just this. And I communicate this with other pastors. You know what they tell me? That same problem. Emerton Baptist Church can hold 1,200 people. You know, Brother Jason told me. He said, we have a Sunday morning outreach service. Amen. He said, we have a Sunday morning outreach service. He said, the place can be packed out on Sunday morning. He said, but when you come back on Sunday night, he said, you see the church. You see the church. See, it's not just unique to us. It's unique everywhere. But even more so as you see the day approaching. But yet we see people less and less concerned. People less and less excited about worshiping Jesus. Let me tell you what, Donald Trump isn't the answer to America's problems. Jesus is. Amen. Barack Obama isn't the answer to America's problems. Jesus is. And let me tell you, when Jesus answers it, when Jesus deals with it, there's not going to be a church here anymore. There's not going to be a church here to worship anymore. You can be able to come to the building. You know, some of you will be able to come back here to Charlestown and do whatever you want to do. I don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. But I got news for you. It's going to be meaningless. Bible said Jesus told the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, over there in John chapter number 4. He says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And praise God, while the day is dawning, while the spirit is available and is working and is moving, we ought to take opportunity to worship him, because the day's coming when the spirit of God is going to be withdrawn. And you can come to the meeting house, and you can go through the form and formalities of all that you want to go through, and it's not going to matter, because there's going to be no spirit here, because the church has been taken out. The church isn't the building. The church is the believers. And the world is getting everybody ready for that. If you're on Facebook and you're friends with me on Facebook, you've seen my post this week, just the other day, about the Shack, movie The Shack. 13 heresies that the Shack teaches. Some of the biggest ones are that there is going to be no judgment, there is going to be no hell. There is going to be no difference between the saved and the lost, because everybody's going to heaven. Well, that's contrary to what the Word of God teaches. But you know what? When the church is gone, when the true believers are gone, and those of you who keep coming to the meeting house wondering where everybody went and going through the form and fashion, you do it because you've accepted the lie. The Bible says that God will send a strong delusion to where people will believe the lie and be damned. Some people don't accept that. Some people don't believe that. Let me tell you what. There's a moment of grace. There's a space of grace, a time of grace that's given a dispensation of grace in which we live, to where you can be saved. And when God withdraws his church, and when God withdraws his spirit, all those who've had opportunity to be saved in this world will not have the chance to be saved. You're not going to get saved during the tribulation. People say, well, I'll just wait until I see. It's going to be too late. I'll just wait until I see the Antichrist, and then I'll know, and I'll get saved. The Bible says you're going to believe the lies. God will send the strong delusion. Christians are already accepting the lies, and the church is still here. When the church is gone, and the power of God is gone, and the Spirit of God is gone, how much easier do you think it's going to be for the devil to convince people to believe a lie and to be damned? Father, we need to forsake not the privilege of worship, because of where we may worship and because of how we worship, but because of the alternatives. Look at what verses 26 and 27 says. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You got two choices: Jesus or judgment. Amen? Jesus or judgment. We have the opportunity to accept Christ as our Savior. We have the opportunity to surrender our lives to him and worship him and honor him and glorify him on this side. We have that privilege. And if we reject that privilege that's given unto us, all we have to look forward is judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. It's a just judgment. Verse 28 says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It's a just judgment, because God sent his Son, his perfect and precious Son, his sinless and perfect Son, into a world that was filled with sin. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His son died for each of us. And we can't take the time to worship him. His son died for us. We can't sacrifice what it takes to give him the glory and the praise. His son died for us. We can't get our hearts right and keep our hearts right and keep our lives right. His son died for us, and we want no part of it. We don't want to hear about him. We don't want you to talk about him. We don't want you to preach about him. We want you to leave us alone so we can go and do what we want to do and do it our own way. And he will let you do it your own way. But he said if somebody disrespected, if somebody transgressed the law of Moses, he was worthy of death. And how much more do you think you're worthy of when you reject his son? You know what? Refusing to come to church because other things are more important is rejecting the Son. You say, well, I can worship Jesus out in nature. That ain't where God tells you to do it. Oh, I can worship God out on the river. Pastor, it's just so beautiful out there in God's sanctuary and in God's beauty and in God's a glorious place. But that's not where God said to do it. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You say, well, Pastor, it doesn't say I have to come on Sunday night. It doesn't say I have to come on a Wednesday night. It doesn't say I have to come to every night of the revival meeting. No, it doesn't say that explicitly. But he implies it. For the early church meant every day. They meant every day. Every day they assembled together. So you want to try to play spiritual judo, amen? I don't mind wrestling with you because I've got the power that overrides any argument you want to bring. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Folks, everybody's not going to heaven. Jesus said the time will come when he will separate the sheep and the goats. And there is a time of accountability. There is a time when it's going to cost you more than anything you thought it was ever going to cost you. The Bible says that every tongue will confess, that every knee is going to bow, and you're going to acknowledge that he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You're going to acknowledge that he is just exactly who he said he was and who he says he is and what he says he's going to do. But the greatest cost you'll ever pay is to hear those words, depart from me. Revelation says, and the devil that deceived, see, that's what he's doing. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever. Now, do you know what whosoever means? Whosoever. Was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You might reject the great cost. You might reject the consecrated place. You might reject the ability that we have to come to Jesus. You might be able to make everybody think everything's all right in your heart. You might be able to make everybody think that you got the greatest faith in the world. You might be able to make everybody think that you're the greatest Christian and you're the most faithful Christian that there ever was. But you'll never fool God. Amen. The reason why so many people were missing out on the blessing and experience of worship is we're make-believe Christians. We're make-believe. We don't have anything to worship about. We don't have anything to be excited about. We go through the form and fashion, but we're missing Jesus. There are many that don't know Jesus, don't even know what it means to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I would implore you and plead with you to let Him in. Christian, maybe you're here and you've not been willing to sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed that you might worship and you might feel the blessing of being in the worship service. I implore you this morning to sacrifice and lay on the altar whatever it is that's keeping you. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.